Let us pray. Only Jesus can save. Alleluia, 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 there is no other way. Alleluia, only Jesus can save. Alleluia, only Jesus can save. Alleluia, only Jesus can save. Alleluia. Father Almighty God, we want to bless your holy name. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you are the Savior, the all-sufficient one, the one who can save to the uttermost. We bless your holy name for the millions of people who have come to you for salvation, and you have not disappointed us. We thank you because you have enough power even to save the whole world. And we thank you because we are sure that during this convention you are going to save millions of souls. Amen. So Father, accept our worship in Jesus' name. As your word is going forth, we pray that the power in your blood will begin to work mightily in the lives of all those who will hear us in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, my Father and my God, save souls today like never before. Amen. During this convention, bring several souls into your kingdom. Amen. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Let someone shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, once again, we are welcoming you all to our annual convention, a truly world convention this time around, because by the grace of God, the lockdown has opened up a new way of reaching the whole world. There are many people who will not have been able to attend the convention can sit down comfortably in their homes and be blessed. So you are very welcome, and I pray that all the desires of your heart will be granted you during this convention in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme of the convention, as you know very well, is wonderful. And we are starting our ministrations on wonders of salvation. The wonders of salvation. Our text will be 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. In the past, when I had the opportunity of talking to you on salvation, we have been limited by time. And so I have always said that, when you are born again, you get a new name, you get a new accommodation, and you are under a new management. I know I've always emphasized those three. But now, we are not in a hurry. We are here for the convention. We are happily settled down in our homes. And I can take as much time as I like. And so we're going to do a thorough Bible study on the wonders of salvation. Because there is a lot in salvation, much more than rescuing you from hell and making you candidates of heaven. There's a lot. And I will cover as many of the things that are wonders of salvation as possible. It's not possible to finish it all. You see, the position of the one who is unsaved is critically bad. If anybody is not yet born again, is in a very, very critical situation. I mean, for example, Psalm 7 verse 11, Psalm 7 verse 11 says, God is angry with the sinner every day, angry with the wicked every day. Can you imagine living inside the constant anger of God? That's a terrible situation to be in. Or if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Ephesians 2, verse 12, the Bible describes those who are not born again as without Christ, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, without hope, without God. That's terrible. I'm sure you don't want to be in that kind of situation for a day longer. Whereas in the same Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13, Ephesians 2 verse 13, the Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are brought near to the Almighty God. No longer strangers, no longer hopeless, no longer living under the constant anger of God. So God helping me, and I hope you will pray that he will help me. I want to spend quality time with you today discussing the wonders of salvation. Let me quickly go over the ones I've always talked to you about. When you are born again, you get a new name. According to John chapter 1, from verse 11 to 12, John 1, 11 to 12, he came unto his own received him not, but to them as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That means when you are born again, you can now call yourself a son of God. I am a child of God. And the interesting thing is that when you are truly born again, even your people around, your friends, those who might not even like the idea that you are born again, begin to talk to you about, say, and they begin to say, but you say you are a child of God. That means they recognize your new name. And you know what? A change in name can seriously affect your future. A new name can mean some tremendous transformations coming your way. Otherwise, you won't find God changing the names of people from Abraham to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, that is if names don't matter. But you could get a very classical example if you spend time to read Genesis 32 and then Genesis 33. Read the two of them. Maybe you can stop at, maybe Genesis 33. Read the whole thing. It's wonderful. For example, if you consider Genesis chapter 32, Jacob was coming back from where he had gone to hide from his brother, who had sworn that the day he would see him after the father's death, he was going to die. So he sent messengers to go and tell his brother he was coming. And the messengers returned to say, oh, your brother is coming to welcome you, and he's coming with 400 men. So Jacob knew what that meant, is that, it looks as if the end has come. But then that night he prayed. An angel who came and wrestled with him, and the angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And the blessing he received was a change of name. The name was changed from Jacob to Israel. By the following morning, in Genesis 33, by the following morning when he met his brother, who was coming to kill him, the brother wept, gave him a hug, and enemy became a friend. A fellow who would have died survived because of a change of name. I've told you stories about that before. I won't waste time telling you the stories now. And then number two, when you become born again, you get a new accommodation. Colossians 1 from verse 12 to 13, Colossians 1, 12 to 13 says, you are translated out of darkness into a kingdom of light. You no longer live in the kingdom of Satan, which is a kingdom of darkness. You now begin to live in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who definitely is the light of the world. As a matter of fact, according to Matthew chapter 5, from verse 14 to 16, Matthew 5, 14 to 16, not only do you now begin to live in light, you begin to shine. And then number three, you come under a new management. Because according to Matthew chapter 11, from verse 28 to 30, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, Jesus Christ said, if you come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you rest. He said, then you will take my yoke upon you. You will now come under my management. It is a dangerous thing to be under the management of Satan, and that's what you have been till you become born again. Because the problem with being under the management of Satan is that he will abandon you at a critical moment. He will use you and then abandon you. A very good example is the story you find in 1 Samuel 17, from verse 38 to 51. 4 Samuel 17 from verse 38 to 51. Satan used Goliath for 40 days to terrorize Israel. The moment the anointed of God appeared on the scene, Satan abandoned Goliath. And a small boy knocked Goliath down and cut off his head. If you are serving the devil, he will pay you with disappointment. He will pay you with evil. My father in the Lord used to say, it is whatever a master has that he will give to his servants. You are serving Satan, he will supply you with plenty of sorrow, plenty of heartache, plenty of problems. But when you are saved, you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you come under his management, and he will give you everything that he has. But now let's continue. Number four. When you are truly born again, the Bible says you are now a new creature. Some translation says you are a new creation. What does that really mean? It means you get a brand new nature. You know, you are changed, as it were, from an animal to a son. Because if you read Matthew 15 from verse 21 to 28, Matthew 15, 21 to 28, a woman came to Jesus Christ asking for help. Jesus Christ said, I can't give the bread of children to dogs. In other words, according to the word of God, there are two categories of people, children and dogs. Until you become a child of God, you have the nature of an animal. Oh, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 from verse 19 to 24. Galatians 5, 19 to 24. He begins to explain the things that happen when you are under this naturehood of an animal. Adultery, fornication. You can read the rest. You say, oh, how can you say that adultery is animal nature? Have you ever seen dogs being ashamed when they are mating in public? It's their nature. And don't you see people who go about naked, who do horrible things, and they rejoice in it? It's not their fault, it's their nature. The reason a sinner is called a sinner is because it is his nature to sin. I mean, you see people who get drunk, because that's part of the things he mentioned as the nature of an animal. And they seem to be rejoicing in it. One fellow was talking. He was drunk on the day of his, what do they call it now? The meeting before the marriage, introduction. Everybody was waiting. He was drunk. And when he was reporting the situation, and they couldn't find him, they were waiting for him, but he was drunk. When he was reporting the incident, he said, oh, I was stone drunk. They were looking for me. They couldn't find me. He was rejoicing that he was drunk. That's the nature of animals. Hatred, envy, all manners of idolatry. That's the nature of an animal. But when you become a child of God, you are a new creature. Your nature changes. Number five, you suddenly find yourself in a new family. The family of God. John chapter 1, verse 11 and 12 again. John 1, 11 and 12. To as many as believed in him, to them gave he the power to become a child of God. You are adopted into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. And according to Romans chapter 8, from verse 16 to 17, Romans 8, 16 to 17, the Bible says, you become heirs of God. You are now an inheritor of whatever God has. Joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ can lay claims to. When you are truly born again, you too can lay claim to it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says Jesus Christ merely becomes the firstborn of many brethren. You can say Jesus Christ is my elder brother. Number six, when you are truly born again, you have new hope. You see, everybody has hope, one kind of hope or the other. Before you were born again, you had hopes of what you call the rainy day. You were hoping that now later trouble will come. Witches will attack. Enemies will operate. That's why you go to the herbalist to arm yourself. Because you are expecting that sooner or later trouble will come. And the interesting thing is, as you hope for them, they do come. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job said, the things I feared most had happened unto me. Whereas when you are truly born again, you have a different kind of hope now. Colossians 1, 27. Colossians 1, 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. When you are in Christ, you can only say, oh, my tomorrow will be all right. All will be well. All will be well. That's number six. All right, number seven. Suddenly, you have new influence. How? Because the moment you come into the family of God, you become connected to the one who is called the Most High. You know, in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 1, Isaiah 66, verse 1, the Almighty God said, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Your father is so highly lifted up that you can boast to anyone. Don't you know I am the Son of God? I mean, somebody can come and say to you, are you not aware that I am the son of the president? And immediately, there is a change in attitude. A change in attitude. I was visiting one of the nations in Africa where United Nations has a very big establishment. And one of my sons was working with them. And he said, Daddy, I'm sure you would love to see our establishment here. I said, why not? Then we got to the gate, and he went to meet the fellow in charge of the gate. My parents are in the car, and they want to see our establishment. The man at the gate told him, you should know nobody is allowed in except he works here. They spent quite a lot of time arguing. Then finally, the man at the gate said, who is this your father that you are so serious about him. And he said, "Hey, Pastor Adebe, why didn't you say that before?" And the man who said he won't open the gate said, "I will take you around." When you have God as your father, you can talk to people and say, "Don't you know I am a child of God? Don't you know I'm a child of God?" New influence. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1 to 7. Ephesians 2, 1 to 7 tells us that your father, your senior, your elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated in the heavenlies. And he's seated, according to Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 18 to 23, Ephesians 1, 18 to 23, far above principalities. And you are seated with him. You are seated with him. So all forces of darkness are under your feet the moment you become a child of God. We used to sing a song when I was a younger Christian. I trample on death. I trample on Satan. Everyone who is born again, shout hallelujah. That was the song. And you know we sing the song, and witches and wizards will look at us and say, "It's not your fault. It is the one who is inside you that is talking." Because they recognize you have influence now. Number 8. When you are truly born again, you have new abilities. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, verse 13 made it clear that you don't even need to ever fail again. He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You don't need to ever fail again. In Luke chapter 5 from verse 1 to 11, Luke 5 from verse 1 to 11, Peter fished all night, caught nothing. Then he became associated with Jesus Christ, and he caught fish so much that two boats were full to overflowing. Then in John chapter 21 from verse 1 to 19, John 21 from verse 1 to 19, when he tried to move away from Christ, to go back to the old ways of fishing, he fished all night again and caught nothing until Jesus Christ came. New abilities. And one of the abilities, number 9 now, is the ability to hear the inaudible. Ability to hear the inaudible. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10, verse 27, John 10, verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice." Suddenly God begins to talk to you quietly. "My son, you can't do that. My daughter, you can't do that." In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, Revelation 2, verse 7, he says, "He who has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." It's not everybody who can hear God. But if you are one of his children, if you are truly born again, you will be hearing his voice quietly as he's guiding you, directing you, and at times warning you, "Don't do this, don't do that, don't go this way, that's the way to go." Number 10, if you're truly born again, you have new joy. In Psalm 51 from verse 11 to 12, Psalm 51 from verse 11 to 12, the Bible talks about the joy of salvation. Joy of salvation. You know it yourself. Those of you who have been born again, you know the joy that you had when you got born again. Joy that you can't explain. That will just be bubbling up within you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Your joy is no longer in a new car, because once you drive a car out of the showroom, it becomes second class, second hand. Not in a new house, because you know that a house can stand today and be burnt down tomorrow. But it's your joy, is joy in the Lord. I mean, I've told you this story before. In those days when I used to visit UI every month, I went to UI, a professor got born again. I mean, one of those who got born again that month. When I returned the following month, he says, sir, I have a question. And when a professor says he has a question, you better begin to fasten your seatbelt. So I thought he was going to ask me some very serious theological question. He says, sir, I hope it is not dangerous to be happy all the time. He said, because since last month, I have just been bubbling with joy. I said, that's what God wants for you. It is Satan who gives sorrow. And the joy of salvation comes from him. We list also number 11. When you are truly born again, you suddenly develop new strength. Why? Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because you now wake up rejoicing. You go to work rejoicing. You return rejoicing. You just suddenly discover, hey, I'm stronger than I used to be. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. You suddenly discover that your strength is being renewed day by day. That brings us to number 12. When you are truly born again, whether you believe it or not, you begin to wear a different kind of dress. Why? Because the Almighty God now will begin to give you what the Bible calls the garment of praise. I'm not talking of the dress you buy in the market. I'm talking of a garment of praise. You just find yourself most of the time, everywhere you go, singing, praising God. Garment of praise. That brings us to number 13. Do you know that when you are truly born again, you become more beautiful? Oh, you may not realize it, but it is true. You become more beautiful. Nobody is ugly if that fellow is smiling. No matter how ugly the fellow may be, the moment they begin to smile, they begin to radiate beauty. There's nobody who is ugly when the fellow is rejoicing and you have joy bubbling inside you. Joy that is not based on anything around you. Joy like a river. And you know what? Psalm 149 verse 4 says, God will beautify the meek with salvation. Salvation is a beauty. When God wants to make you beautiful, he gives you salvation. And then, number 14, suddenly you begin to have a new vision. New ambition. New plans for the future. Suddenly you begin to look at spiritual things as more important than material things. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 4. Colossians 3 from verse 1 to 4 tells us that if you are truly dead with Christ, now you begin to look at things above where Christ is now. You now begin to always think about things spiritual as far, far more important than things material. My wife and I went to visit one of the converts several years ago. And we entered into their house. And I'm telling you, that was a house. It was a new house. They were yet to move in. And the sister wanted us to come and pray over it before they were moving. And so he took us around the house. I'm telling you, that house was beautiful. I mean, when we got to the bathroom, almost everything there was gold. Beautiful. But as we were stepping out of the place, my wife said to me, "Heaven is far more beautiful." I said, "Glory be to God." And do you know what happened? The husband never slept in that house before he died. Once you become born again, you begin to think of heavenly things, things that are permanent, things that will not fade, things that money cannot buy, new visions. That's 14, right? Let's go to 15. I told you I will give you as much as I can. Do you know, as soon as we are born again, suddenly you become qualified for divine healing. Because if you read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, 1 Peter 2, verse 24, the Bible tells us that it is because Jesus has taken your sin to the cross. That's why you can now say, "By his stripes, I was healed." Salvation belongs to true children of God, people whose sins have been washed away. Take the example in Mark chapter 2, from verse 1 to 12. Mark 2, from verse 1 to 12. The four people brought in a young man. You know the story. They couldn't get in because of the crowd. So they broke through the roof and lowered the young man at the feet of Jesus. Everybody could see that this fellow was sick. He was helplessly sick. The first thing Jesus Christ said to that young man is, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. I must take your sin out of the way before you qualify for healing." And when people began to argue about whether Jesus had the power to forgive sin or not, he then now said, "Now, son, now that your sins are gone, you can now stand up, take your bed, and go home." In the case of the fellow that Jesus healed in John chapter 5, from verse 2 to 14, John 5, 2 to 14, the man who had been by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. When he healed him, and the man left the place rejoicing and ran into the temple and was praising God there, when Jesus met him in the temple, what was it he told him? "Hey, you have been made whole." go and sin no more. I'm not saying that every sickness is brought about by sin. But when there was no sin, there was no sickness. It was only when sin came in the Garden of Eden that death came. And sickness is a forerunner, a servant of death. Whether you believe it or not, if I feel a headache, I ask myself, what have I done wrong? Because Almighty God said in Exodus 15 verse 26, Exodus 15 verse 26, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all that I command you, I will bring no sickness on you. That's his promise, and he's not a liar. So if I fall sick, I ask myself, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Am I eating wrong? Am I overworking? Am I in an atmosphere that is not conducive for me to be in? There must be a reason. But when you are truly born again, even when doctors say there is nothing more we can do, you still qualify for healing. I mean, you remember the story in Mark chapter 5, from verse 25 to 34, Mark 5, 25 to 34. The Bible talks about the woman with the issue of blood. She has spent all she had for all manners of physicians. And instead of getting better, she grew worse. But Jesus won't fail. So I'm believing God for all of you, children of the living God, that before this convention is over, you begin to enjoy divine health. Amen. And then, what number are we now? 16. All right. You begin to enjoy his peace. If you are truly born again, you will begin to enjoy his peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, John 14, verse 27, Jesus Christ said, peace I give unto you, my peace. Not as the world gives. My peace. You know, when somebody has a shocking experience and the doctors look at the situation and they see that the way things are going, we need to do something, they sedate the fellow. They give him an injection that will cause him to compulse release, fall asleep. But Jesus gives peace, not like the world will give peace. You can have peace in a storm. The storm could be raging around you. You can just be enjoying yourself. Because the Bible says the peace that God gives is a peace that people cannot understand. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, 7. The peace of God that passes all understanding can become available to you if you are truly born again. Maybe I give you just one more, and I can't finish it all. There are several other things. Probably as we go along in the convention, they will come in one way or the other. You begin to enjoy his friendship. And I like that. You see, it's a dangerous thing to be lonely. It's very, very terrible thing to be lonely. That's why I always tell my friends, if you are going to start a conversation with someone who is living alone, make sure you have plenty of time. Because if they grab you, all the talks they would have talked with, if they had people that they can talk to, they will want to offload it on you that single moment. Because they don't know where next. It is a terrible thing to be lonely. And when we are talking about loneliness, we're not talking about I'm single, I'm not yet married. No. That's not the only loneliness we are talking about. A man could be married and be lonely. There could be two strangers living together in the same house. Two strangers. And they don't talk one to the other. And a man can be highly placed and be lonely. As a matter of fact, the higher they are, the lonelier. I mean, the more lonely they are. I've told you the story before when I went to One Nation to go and hold a Holy Ghost service. And I had an appointment with the president. And they told me, maximum 15 minutes. I said, that's enough. The crusade is about to start. After 2 hours, and you don't interrupt a president when he's talking to you, I had to say, Your Excellency, the crusade is supposed to have started. Your children are waiting. He said, let them wait. He said, they have people they can talk to. I don't have. I've heard about you, and I don't know when next I will see you. So let's talk. You can be president and be very lonely. Because, I mean, when you are in a high position, you don't even know who is a friend. Everybody is looking for what they can get. And when the trouble comes, it's on you and you alone. But Jesus Christ promises you friendship. John 15 from verse 14 to 15. John 15 from verse 14 to 15. He said, I'm not calling you servants, I'm calling you friends. He said, because servants don't know what the master is doing. You are my friends. And it's a kind of friendship that will not fail you. You know, there are many people pretending to be your friends. Particularly when you are rich. Or when there's something they can get from you, they pretend to be your friend. When trouble comes, they disappear. But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Hebrews 13, verse 5, Jesus Christ said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Let me conclude. So that I don't take too much of your time. To be saved, there are certain things that you need to know. Number one, you must realize that you are in serious trouble if you are not saved. You must realize that one. I told you earlier on that God is angry with the wicked every day. That's enough to frighten anybody. And remember the story I told you about a man who came to me and said, sir, we hear that you're a prophet. I said, no, I'm a pastor. But I hear that whatever you say comes to pass. I said, God, I've been faithful. He said, can you tell me about my future? I said, that's simple. You just answer a question. Are you born again? Are you a child of God? Are you saved? He said, no. I said, your future will be terrible. I said, how do you know? You have not even prayed. You don't know my name. I said, it is written. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 11. Isaiah 3, verse 11. Say ye to the wicked, it shall be ill with them. And the word of God is forever settled. He said, okay. Suppose I had said I am born again, I'm a child of God. I said, I would have told you that your future will be all right. The same Isaiah chapter 3, verse 10. Isaiah 3, verse 10. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. It shall be well with you. If you are not born again, you are living in trouble. Then you need to realize that you can't change yourself without help. It's not possible for you to change your harmful habits. How many years have you been having New Year resolutions? This New Year, I'm not going to drink. This New Year, I will stop smoking. This New Year, I will stop fornicating. And then within 1 week, you've done what you say you won't do again. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 23, Jeremiah 13, verse 23, he said, a leopard can't change his spots. You can't do it on your own. You need help. And then you need to know that only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, from verse 10 to 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, from verse 10 to 12. There is no other name by which a man can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Then you need to realize that he is willing to save your soul. Matthew 11 verse 28, Matthew 11 verse 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's willing. He made the invitation more than 2,000 years ago, and the invitation is still standing. But then you will have to call on him for him to save your soul. In Acts chapter 2, verse 21, Acts 2, verse 21, the Bible says, as many as will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we will call on him and say, save my soul, he will do so. But if we're going to call on him, do it now. Do it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. I will remind you of one story that I'm sure you've heard before. Because you can delay and die while you are delaying. You can delay and get into some very serious trouble before you come to Jesus. But you can come to him today and avoid the trouble. I told you the story of a relation of mine, very big man, an in-law. Anytime we met him, he was a very good man, very kind, very nice. Whenever we met him, we would start witnessing unto him. Then one day he said, hey, come, in-law. We went to his house. And he took me around the mansion, big house. Got to this room, you see freezers loaded with roasted turkey. Get to that one, freezers loaded with roasted goats, and so on and so forth. Took me around the house. I saw a lot of treasures. When we came back to the living room, he said, in-law. I said, sir. He said, you have Jesus. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you have all these things? I said, no, sir. Uh-huh. He said, go and talk to the poor. They are the ones who need Jesus. He said, for me, I don't need him. I said, yes, sir. Because where I come from, you don't argue with your in-law. Particularly if he's the in-law on the side of your wife. Months passed, about 6 months or so. And I was coming back from the university. I saw somebody in my living room that looks like my in-law. Looked like him. I had to look twice to say, he's the one. In-law, what happened? He said, the accountant and the auditor, they plotted. And they got him to sign a check. I think the check was for either 10 million pounds or something. In those days when we were still spending pounds. And after he signed, they added 10. I think 10 became 100. Not only was, and then they took the money and they left the country. They just disappeared. Not only was the money taken enough to practically bring the company down, the owners of the company, where he was a general manager or whatever, thought that he must know something about it. So he was about now to go to jail. Ah. In-law, what do you now want me to do? He said, I want you to pray for me. Ah. In whose name? He said, in the name of Jesus. I said, but you say you don't need him. He said, that was then. This is now. All the rosy cheek had sunk. It was now looking like a carcass. In-law, with all the food in the house, he said, who can eat? With all the problems. Listen to me, my beloved friend. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ today. Tomorrow might be too late. And those of you who have already given your life to Jesus Christ, you see all the benefits? Don't sell yourself short. Every benefit that is in salvation, claim your own and claim it tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Those of you who genuinely surrender your life to Jesus Christ, now that you know the wonders of salvation, cry to Jesus Christ with all your heart. Because the Bible says if you call on him, he will save your soul. Cry to him and say, Jesus, please save my soul. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Give me a new name. Give me a new accommodation. Put me under a new management, your management. I want your joy. I want your peace. I want your influence. I want your protection over me. Jesus, save my soul. Save my soul today. Those of you who are already born again, please intercede for all those who are crying to God for salvation now. Pray that the Almighty God will save their soul. And then later on, you will be praying for yourself. But pray for these people. God will receive them into the family of God, that they become brand new creatures in him. Oh, thank you, my Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. And so, my Father, my God, I want to thank you once again for your word. I want to thank you for all those who have heard your word now and are crying to you for salvation. Please remember your promise that whosoever will come unto you, you will no wise cast out. They have come now. Please receive them. Amen. Save their souls. Oh, let your blood wash away their sins. Receive them into the family of God. Give them a brand new beginning. And from now on, any time they call on you, please answer them by fire. And please, they and all those who have been born again before, all your children, all those who have this new name that they are children of the living God, every blessing that should be the portion of those who are true children of the Most High God, please release unto them tonight.
Amen.
I am praying, Lord God Almighty, that even before tomorrow, everyone who is truly born again will have a new testimony.
Amen.
Thank you, my Father and my God. And I pray that in your kingdom, none of us will be missing.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, those of you who have just given your life to Jesus Christ, please get in contact with me so I can continue to pray for you. Those of you who are truly, truly sure that you are a child of God, cry to Him and say, I can't be a child of God and be in trouble. I can't be a child of God and be suffering. I know all these beautiful things that are available to me as a child of God. I am claiming my own inheritance now. Go ahead, cry to the Almighty God, and He will grant your request.